Jack Campbell thought he had everything.
Merry Christmas.
I'm giving everything I've got to this deal.
You're a credit to capitalism, Jack.
Then one day, his past caught up to him.
Kate Reynolds. She was my girlfriend in college. I almost married her.
But instead, you left her.
I took the road less traveled.
And fate.
What?
Him?
Me.
Gave him a glimpse.
What do you need, Jack?
I got everything I need.
Yeah? You just remember that. You brought this on yourself.
At what his life could have been.
Kate?
Come on, Dad, get up. It's Christmas,
Jack.
Strong coffee.
Where's my Ferrari?
You got a Ferrari?
Just tell me what's happening to me.
This is a glimpse.
A glimpse of what?
This is not my beautiful house.
This is very strange because this isn't my house. Those aren't my kids. Oh.
You're not really my dad, are you?
I don't have time for this. I'm in the middle of a deal.
Well, you're working on a new deal now, baby.
Good Lord. Do you know why I work here?
Because you're the best dayer guy in the state of New Jersey.
You must have needed this every day.
Yeah, you need it in Mag Wheels.
Oh, God, you're beautiful.
How can you look at me like you haven't seen me every day for the last 13 years?
Jack! What's up? How you feeling, baby?
Can't keep coming in and out of people's lives, messing things up. It's not right. I need you to remember me, Kate. Keep it with you no matter what happens.
Well, it's too late tonight to drive the past out into the night. One life, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other.
Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage, The Family Man.
Well, good morning, everyone. Did you all have a Merry Christmas? Yeah, I think it was just a special time for us and in our family as well. So I hopefully that you guys had an incredible time with your family. I wish it would have snowed. My daughter, London, and I, we prayed so hard for snow, but in God's great plan, he decided to spare us all the car accidents and tragedy that befalls us when snow hits the ground. But I look forward to just finishing out this year strong and with those that we love and with all of you. It's been an amazing year. I want to say welcome to any guests that we may have here today. We have a philosophy here at Vertical Life Church. We believe everyone matters to God. And so you matter, and hopefully your time here, you feel that you are an important person. We call our guests VIPs because we believe that everyone that walks through the door is important, and so we hope that the time that you have with us today is a blessing to you. Now, we've been looking over this last month, we've been going through a teaching series called Vertical Life Church Presents, and we've been looking at different holiday films to see timeless truths in these classic tales. And this week, we're starting to take a look at the movie The Family Man, starring Nicolas Cage. And I don't think The Family Man is one of the more popular movies. I know several people that have never even heard of it. But this was one of the first movies that came out when I started working at a movie theater, one of the first jobs I had when I lived in Missouri. And I was working as an usher at the theater. And one of the perks that you got at the theater was that you could see movies for free anytime you wanted. As the great film connoisseur that I was, this was one of the first movies, one of the first free movies I got to go see. So I've always remembered it. And this movie is very similar to the movie we looked at in week one, the movie called It's a Wonderful Life, about George Bailey. But instead of having his life completely taken away, to see his life as if he had never been born, Jack, Nicolas Cage's character, gets a glimpse of what his life would have been like if he had made a different decision, if he had chosen another path. Now, like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, Jack thought he was destined for greatness, that he was meant to do something big. But instead of sacrificing his dreams for family, Jack leaves his family, leaves his girlfriend right at the airport, who is begging him to stay, and he goes to pursue his ambitions. He makes the selfish choice. And he becomes a cutthroat businessman, very successful and very, very rich. You saw his Ferrari he was driving around in the preview. And one Christmas Eve night, he is headed to a party. He's going to pick up some stuff at a convenience store or a party store. And this thief comes in and starts holding the cashier at gunpoint. And here, Jack makes the deal of his life. And what he finds out later is that the robber was actually an angel in disguise. And he had a magic ticket, a ticket that would give him a glimpse of what his life would have been like if he had chosen to stay at the airport and be with Kate as opposed to leave her and go on to live his life. And so he wakes up one morning, the Christmas morning, to kids he had never met before jumping on the bed, in a house he had never seen before, married to a woman he hadn't thought about in years, right? This would be the acid trip of a lifetime, I think, if it was you or I. And so he has to begin to try to figure out this new life, to kind of figure out how he was going to fit in as best as he could, because he finds out from the angel that there's nothing he can do to change his predicament. No matter what other important things he had going on in his life, he was stuck, and so he had to make the most of it. So he comes to terms with this new situation, and as he starts to accept this new reality, he starts to live the role of husband and father. He begins to discover something. He discovers that he still had feelings for Kate, that even though he hadn't been with her for years, I think upwards of 10 years or 15 years, he was still in love with her after all that time. And as he's rediscovering these feelings, he also discovers that the kids that they had together were the best thing to ever happen to him. And his job as a tire salesman, even though it didn't make him near as much money as what his other job as the corporate lawyer did, when he first started working the job, he thought, man, this is the worst possible scenario I could think of. But he discovers that that job was more fulfilling than anything he had ever done. And just as he begins to have this realization about what life could have been like, the angel shows up again and sends him back to his old life. And Jack is faced with the ultimate decision. Do I continue to pursue my career, my wealth, or do I take advantage of a chance encounter with my ex-girlfriend to see if the life that I just got a glimpse of, the life that I truly wanted, could be possible again? And so he makes the most important pitch of his career. As Kate is standing there in an airport, getting ready to leave town, just like he did to her so many years ago, he convinces her to stay and have a conversation, to catch up for lost time. And as I've seen this movie, I believe this movie, it fits a lot like, or it seems a lot like, this Christmas season. Because when Christmas comes upon us, we shift into holiday mode. It takes over everything, decorations in the house, planning, parties. And it, even though it happens the same time every year, it kind of sneaks up on us. It catches us by surprise sometimes. And during the 2 months, right after, you know, as soon as November hits and we go from Thanksgiving to Christmas, as we enter the holiday season, we get a glimpse of what life really should be like, about the love and the generosity of being close to family, and what the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of the holiday season is, really brings upon us. And then as soon as we just get really into that Christmas mode, it's over. It's over. It's just like the glimpse that Jack got to experience of what life could be like. It goes by so fast, and once it's over, there's a feeling of completion, of an ending, and maybe even a little emptiness. But just like the end of the glimpse in this film, The Family Man wasn't the end for Jack. Christmas isn't the end. See, the coming of Jesus Christ into the world wasn't the end of something, but it was the beginning of something. This is what Christmas is all about. Not about endings, but about new beginnings. And so much of the joy of this season is lost, even the next day after Christmas, because we're once again faced with the real world. And there doesn't seem to be much to look forward to. If you just turn on the news, you can see all the problems happening everywhere. It doesn't seem like we wake up to much to look forward to. But we have our whole lives ahead of us. Matter of fact, right now, from today, we have 363 more days until the next Christmas holiday. Woohoo! But we don't have to live from Christmas to Christmas. We've been given each day as a gift from God, a gift we can use to live life to the fullest. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, the word of the Lord records this. It says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Every day is a gift from God. And for Christians, new beginnings don't just happen on Christmas, they happen every day. The power of Christmas lies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when you have faith in Jesus, your life isn't just filled with endings, but it's filled with new beginnings, new life, new family, new purpose, new hope, new joy, and new peace. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the end of the Bible, talking about the end of the world, Jesus says these powerful words. He says, "Behold," check it out, "I'm about to make all things new." So even at the end of the Bible, it talks about the beginning of something new. That's what Jesus is all about. He's about new beginnings. That's what a life lived through the gospel is all about. A gospel-centered life is about new beginnings, where every day is a day where God is inviting you to experience his presence and his love in your life. But what sets many of us back, at least I know it's true for me, is that even though we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're trusting him for heavenly things, we aren't looking forward to new things. But we're struggling to hang on to old things, to hang on to same, keeping things the same in our lives. We're trying to keep our lives from changing as much as possible, to keep as comfortable as possible, as secure as possible. And because this life is filled with so much pain, so much struggle, so much heartache, instead of looking forward to the joy that could be in our lives, we tend to just focus on the struggle that is. And let the negativity of our struggles of this life rob us of that joy of peace that comes with following Christ as we attempt to hold on to sameness. Keeps us from making some of the choices that we would make or could make as we follow Jesus on the path to overflowing life. And as God is speaking in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, as Isaiah is writing his letter to Israel, he recounts all of the great things God did for the nation as a part of setting them free from the slavery in Egypt. And as he's talking about all these events that God did, he makes an incredible statement in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 20. And I like how it reads in the King James Version of the Bible. It says this in God's word. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." So here God just says, hey, remember all that awesome stuff I just did for you? How I freed the nation, how I destroyed the Egyptian army? Remember not the former things. Don't think about those things. Don't even consider those things of old. God is telling his people, and I believe his word for us today as the church, is don't live in the past, because the past is past. Don't live in the past. Someone once said that if you live in fear of the future because of what has happened in your past, you'll miss out on what you have in the present. What we have each and every day is opportunity. We have opportunity in the present. But the problem with us so many times is because we live in the past, we hold on to those experiences, even as painful as they are, we hold on to our failures, and we allow those to keep us from seizing opportunities in the future because we become unwilling to step out and take some risks for fear of what might happen or going through the same problems and struggles all over again. Last night, my wife Toni and I, we decided to take the kids out of the house. They'd been cooped up for a couple of days. Now they were enjoying all their new gifts and presents and more stuff that they had the chance to really play with over 2 days. But because they've been stuffed with all the sugary delights that come with Christmas time and not really getting any fresh air, they started to look like Christmas zombies. And so we were like, we got to get these kids out of the house. So on a whim, we took them skating to Skateland. So we're out there and we're just having fun. They're all, you know, doing their thing. But during skating, what they end up doing, if you're not familiar, they end up stopping all the skating and they play different games like dodgeball and couple skate and different things like that. But specifically, they were doing the races. They have, you know, the boys and girls race. And I always encourage my kids to race to help them, you know, feel confident and get out there. And Reese, my oldest son, he never goes. He never races. Even though I think he really wants to, he doesn't get out there because he's really gun shy about new things, especially what he's not confident in. He's a really timid kid. But Asher, my youngest son, he's like the polar opposite. Whereas Reese knows a lot of fear, Asher has no fear. I think that kid would be willing to, you know, do just about anything. But I didn't know this about Asher. Asher wanted to skate, and Reese told him not to. Reese told him not to even go out there, but Asher didn't listen to him. Reese was speaking fear into his life, telling him, no, don't go out there. You know, those are the big kids are out there. But Asher went anyway. And he was the only three-year-old out there pushing his little baby stroller assistant device with the skates after everyone had already finished the race and the winner was chosen. He was still like not even halfway around. And so they had to wait an extra 5 minutes or so for him to get there. And even though he lost the race, he won the hearts of everyone in there because they're all smiling and saying, oh, he's so cute. Look at that little kid out there. And he ended up getting a piece of candy anyways. You see, if Asher had listened to Reese and the fear Reese was speaking into his life, he would have missed out on the opportunity to race and win the piece of candy. But all Asher cared about was winning the race. It didn't matter how big or how fast the other kids were, how more experienced they were, or how many others were out there, or what his competition was. All he cared about was winning the race. And so he decided that no matter how fast anyone else was, he was going to go as fast as he could and seize the moment. He was going to give it a shot. And after the race, he told Tony and I, he said, Reese said I shouldn't do it, but I didn't listen to him in his cute little voice. See, in this life, there are so many voices telling you no, saying don't risk it, don't do it, trying to inspire fear in you to keep you back. Voices will try to keep your faith weak, keep you from becoming who God made you to be. But God, through Jesus Christ, hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. God has given us what we need to get out there and seize the moment, to take opportunity and do things we never thought we could. It's time to stop letting our past dictate our present and our future. If we live in the past over issues in our relationships, we won't be able to trust our present relationships because of fear of what might happen. If we live in the past over our finances or our financial problems, we will stick with a dead-end job for fear of being out of work again. Or if we live in the past over when we felt most successful, like our glory days were in the past, I wish we could just get back to the time where I felt popular or important. We will feel like our lives can never be like that again, and the struggles we face will feel much more intense. God tells Israel, don't live in the past. And he continues in verse 19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. You see, what may feel like a desert to you, God can turn into an oasis. What feels like parched land, God can spring up good fruit. God can do the impossible. And here he tells Israel, it doesn't matter what the state of your life looks like, I'm about to do something new. Quit thinking and dwelling on the past. And I believe what God is saying to us today is don't live in the past, because if you do, you will miss out on what I'm about to do in the future. I believe God is about to do something big in your life, something that's going to change things, something that's going to redefine how you see your life. And if you aren't careful, you're going to miss it. If Jack in this movie, Nicolas Cage's character, if he hadn't seized the opportunity in the convenience store and intervened, he would have missed out on the glimpse that God had prepared for him. And if we stick to just what we know and we miss out on opportunities, we let these opportunities slip by and always try to stay in our comfort, in our safety, we may miss out on the big thing that God is wanting to do in our lives. Because he isn't about endings. He is about new beginnings and second chances. And you may look at your life and feel like life is a bit out of control, that your relationship is not where it should be with God or with your spouse or your significant other or your kids. Your job might be on its tipping point, and it may seem like following Jesus is the pathway to overwhelming stress, not indescribable peace. I've been there. I know what that feels like. Sometimes life is so crazy that you question, is this really worth it? Is following Jesus really worth it because of what I have to go through? And what I find in my life when that is the case, when I'm feeling like that, I find that I'm comparing my current situation to peaceful times in the past. Or what I see as peaceful times in other people's lives, even people that don't follow and serve God. And in King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 and 18, speaking for God, here's what the word of the Lord records. He says, "Don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed." God is encouraging us to keep looking forward, keep going forward, keep your focus on the present and the future. God isn't wanting you to go back to former things. He's wanting to lead you to something new. And Israel, in the time of Isaiah, was in a state like this. They were in a state of unrest. Their nation was a mess, and it seemed like God had abandoned them. Those who didn't recognize God seemed to flourish while their nation seemed to flounder. Their glory was a thing of the past. They longed for the days when God resided with them and other nations feared them. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, sends them a prophecy, a specific word to Israel in Isaiah chapter 54. And here's what God says to Israel. He says, "Sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." Here God declares in a moment. He declares a moment in their future history when the struggle for Israel is going to be over and great blessing is going to come. And what is significant here in this passage is he's telling the childless woman, the barren woman, which is Israel, he's telling her that she has a reason to worship right now, a reason to celebrate right now, even in the midst of her misery. And it's so powerful what God says here. Look at it in verse 1 here. He says, "For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord." You see, God doesn't see you as you are, but he sees what you will become. She who is presently childless is currently more fruitful than those who have been more fruitful. You see, some of us get so focused on negativity, on our personal struggles, we can't even dream about anything good happening in our lives. And when we tend to have such a negative outlook in our lives, we miss the hope that comes through faith. Hope to know that God is leading us to something greater, something better, something overflowing with unspeakable joy. And when we get stuck looking back at all the negativity and how it affects the outlook of our lives, it makes us continue to repeat the same cycle of negativity and failure over and over again. And this is how Satan, our enemy, steals our joy. He's the thief who comes to steal. And as he keeps us dwelling on what was, he takes our eyes off of what will be. And some of you today need to get your eyes off of your problems and put them on your God, who is Christ the Lord. Here in Isaiah, he continues in verse 2. He says, "Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." The question that comes to mind when I read this scripture is this: was she bursting at the seams now? Was the barren woman bursting at the seams now? Well, the answer is no. She wasn't in that state. But yet God tells her to spread out her home and spare no expense. He tells her to prepare for the blessing that is to come, to start acting like the blessing could come at any moment. Not to look out onto the former things, but to keep her eyes focused on the good that is to come, to inspire hope in her, to inspire faith in her, to keep her moving forward in the power of the Holy Spirit as she followed God to that blessed hope. You see, the core concept of this message today falls on this principle. It's this: in order to realize the blessing God has prepared for you, you need to sacrifice what you are for what you can become. In order to realize the blessing God has prepared for you, you need to be willing to sacrifice what you are for what you can become. You see, the lives that we are currently living, we look at our lives and we see we don't make some sacrifices. We don't follow through on some risks because we're afraid of how hard the change will be. We turn away from opportunities that come our way in an effort to hold on to the past or hold on to security and control or to hold on to sameness because we're afraid. But God's word for us today is to stop dwelling on what you are and prepare for what he's declared you will become. And if you are a child of God, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the word of God says you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Don't you dare call unclean what he has declared is righteous and holy. Don't settle for mediocre when you deserve a king's share because you are united with Jesus Christ. Don't wait on the blessing. Act on the blessing. Don't wait for God to pour down what you're desiring in your life. Start setting up your life in preparation for the outpour that's to come from your God. Because he's already prophesied a great blessing to those who believe on the name of Jesus Christ. See, this is faith in action. This is believing without seeing. For Israel, the barren woman, her blessing wasn't riches and power. It was the coming of the Messiah, the one we celebrate whose birth was foretold on Christmas Day. In the previous chapter of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, God declares the coming of Jesus. Here's what he says. He says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants and that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. He was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands." Hallelujah. Right from there, he goes on to say, "O barren woman, celebrate. Open the house. Build the addition. Get ready, because the coming of Jesus means the beginning of something incredible." That's the reason why the barren woman can celebrate now, pre-blessing. It's because God was about to use her to save the world. The Messiah was coming as one of her children, and he would give his life to save us all. And you and I right now can celebrate along with Israel, pre-blessing in your situation. No matter what you're struggling with or going through, God is going to use the circumstances in your life to save someone else's life as you use your story to inspire hope and faith in other people. And after hearing what Isaiah describes as the chosen fate of Jesus and thinking about what we know he had to endure, to be a lamb slaughtered for the sins of the world, the question I ask is, what kept Jesus going? What kept Jesus in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that pain, in that fear, moving forward on mission, following God's call and his will for his life, even though he endured such a horrific circumstance? What was his motivation to stay on mission? And I think it was a love. Was it his undying commitment? Was it just knowing the truth? What was it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews tells us. He says, because of the, what's that word? Joy. Because of the joy awaiting him. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. It was the joy awaiting him that kept him going. It wasn't his former glory. It wasn't the good old days. It wasn't what had been. It was what was awaiting him on the other side of the cross. And as we look at the close of this year, our eyes shouldn't be on what was before. It should be on looking forward to what will be, for the joy awaiting us as we enter a season of God's blessing. You see, for Jack in this film, The Family Man, what was awaiting him was the chance to get back to the glimpse, to see his soon-to-be wife again and to meet his kids again for the first time. And so he was willing to sacrifice his career and anything else he needed to make that happen. Instead of living like we're struggling to survive or that we're destined for a life of misery, we need to change the way we think. We need to renew our minds and reset our focus and focus on the joy that is to come, on the blessing that is on the way, on the other side of our trials. We need to start sacrificing what we are for what we can become. Maybe in your life today, you need to find a new job or a new place to live. And you've been dragging your feet. Maybe you need to plan to welcome a new addition into your family. Or maybe you need to go back to school to prepare yourself for what God is calling you to. Maybe, I know it's crazy, but there are grown adults that don't even have their driver's license. Maybe you need to get your license so you can begin doing ministry that God is calling you to. Maybe it's just to get healthy this year so you can lower your stress and have the strength to get through your situation and be ready and prepared for what God is calling you to. Whatever God has been working on in your life this year, whatever he's been bringing to your attention this year, don't focus on the struggle. Don't focus on the difficulty on what he's calling you to. Focus on the reward after the win. Focus on the blessing that is to come. Begin to stretch out your house and add the addition. Spare no expense. Do whatever it takes to bring the blessing in. So when the outpour comes, you're ready to receive it. And as the church of Jesus Christ and as Vertical Life Church this year, we want to sacrifice the awkwardness of conversation so we can tell people about a loving God and how you can encounter him every week right here in the worship gathering. So this community and people everywhere can know who Jesus is and what he's done for them in their lives. We as a church want to receive an outpour this year. And so we're going to prepare some outreach initiatives to help invite people to church. And right now on the welcome table, the VIP table, we have invite cards you can use to begin inviting people to come join us for worship each week. But there is no certainty what we're going to face this year. But there is one thing that is for sure. That if God is for us, then nothing can be against us. And that same God has a purpose and plan filled with good and with blessing. And my challenge for you today, church, is to begin preparing for the blessing in your homes, in your careers, in your ministries. And as you are preparing, give him praise for what he's about to do in your life to help you stay focused on the joy that is to come. And when you get caught up in the struggle, because the struggle's coming, we have an enemy that we wrestle with. The negativity in the world is on the way sooner or later. When you face challenges this year, don't allow yourself to revert back to the former things and focus on life back then. Praise your way forward as you prepare to receive the blessing from God who knows the good plans he has for your life. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes this morning. And let's just go into an attitude of prayer. As we contemplate what God has done, has been doing, and what he's preparing us for, in this moment, ask yourself, what can I begin to do today in preparation of the blessing that God has prepared for me? Maybe you need a blessing financially. Ask yourself, what can you be doing right now to enlarge your tent? Maybe it's beginning to tithe first before you do anything else with your finances so God can bless and bring financial blessing into your life. And as you continue to follow him by faith, seek out advisors or a financial coach to help you get a stable and workable budget so that you can honor him this year with your finances and be investing in the kingdom. Maybe you have relationship issues that keep you from honoring God, and you need to create stronger boundaries in your life and get an accountability partner to help you keep your relationships in place where God can bless it. Maybe you need to be more bold in your faith, and not just in talking about Jesus, but inviting people to church and finding ways to give of yourself to serve other people. Whatever way God has been speaking to you and to your heart this year, as he's working in your life, whatever God desires to bring into your life this year, commit today to start taking steps this year. Don't put it off. Don't start 3 weeks from now. Start today. Don't just talk about what could be. Start taking one step at a time, one conversation at a time, one appointment at a time, and prepare your life to bring in that blessing. But before you can get your life right, you got to get your mind right. You need to agree with God about not what you are right now, but what you will become. Let that reality motivate your steps. Maybe you're wanting to be fit this year. You need to understand you are not unhealthy. You are fit for the kingdom of God. And so your decisions need to be driven by the fact that fit people don't live like that. Maybe you're financially unstable and you need to understand that you are not struggling financially. You are richly blessed for the kingdom of God, and you need to let that mentality guide your decisions and understand that blessed people don't spend like that. Maybe you are shy and fearful and you desire to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. You need to let that reality set in your mind and understand that bold people don't act like that. Let the reality of who you are be changed by what you will become, and allow what you will become to drive your attitudes and your behaviors. Write your true identity on a piece of paper and stick it on your fridge. Hang it on your rearview mirror and keep that vision of what will be in front of you to drive your joy as you prepare for the blessing that God is going to bring into your life this year. Maybe you're here today, and what you really need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That today, you need to finally call out to God and give him your heart. And that today is the day that there's an ending, that the old life is gone, and you begin new life in Jesus Christ today. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or you feel distant from God and you're questioning whether or not you are truly his child, I'm going to invite you right here in this moment to place your faith in him, just to pray to God a simple prayer like this. You can pray it with me. You can say, Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner and that has separated me from you. Forgive me of my sins. I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection. He now is my Lord and Savior. Take me now, Lord. I'm yours in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer from your heart to God, Scripture says that you've gone from death to life, that now you are a new creature and a child of God, and you need to begin living as a child of God and let that understanding drive your decisions and your behavior as you seek to grow in the Lord and know his will for your life. And allow us as a church to come around you and encourage you in your spiritual journey. Father, I pray for Vertical Life Church right now, for those that are gone, that weren't able to be here today, whether they're battling with sickness or they're traveling. And God, for those here under the sound of my voice. God, I just pray that this year would be a year of great faith for our church. God, that we wouldn't allow this to be an ending, but God, we would rise up and walk in faith, God, as we believe you for blessing. God, as we follow what you are calling us to, as we're seeking to live according to what you've made us to be. God, I pray against the enemy, his servants, works, and effects. God, I pray against the attacks and the distraction that he would bring into our lives. God, I ask for a hedge of protection to be upon each and every one of us. God, that we would avoid temptation, not because it leads to sin, but because we love you so much, God, that we have no appeal to those things. God, that we would be filled with faith. God, that mountains would move, that waters would part because of the power that is present here in our church. God, that many people would come and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that their lives would be transformed through the ministry of our church. God, I thank you for 2015, and I'm so excited to see what you've prepared for 2016. Help us to lead well and live well for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.